Stressed about pests? When you have pest problems, don't call just anyone. Call the Orkin Pro. For more than 120 years, Orkin offers unparalleled service, helping protect homes and businesses from termites, rodents, mosquitoes, and other insects. With Orkin by your side, you don't have to wonder about the outcome of your pest problem. We'll solve it guaranteed. And if bugs creep up between services, we'll be on your doorstep free of charge. Orkin, the best in pests. Learn more at Orkin.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to Commanding the Huddle. I am your host, Ryan Fowler. OTAs are in full swing. Week 2 of OTAs out in Ashburn. But before we get into some thoughts initially from OTAs, you heard a lot of the veterans and some rookies speak at the podium over these last few weeks. The Commanders and GM Adam Peters, off the top here, made some new hires in the front office, bringing over Brandon Sosna from the Detroit Lions, a key executive, a figurehead, if you will, as far as the contract negotiations that have gone on. Specifically, look at a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown and his recent contract extension over there in Detroit. Having him now in Washington is going to be super important. And they also hired David Blackburn to come in, spent over a decade with the Baltimore Ravens, their former director of college scouting, now the director of player personnel with the Washington Commanders. And Adam Peters, and even more so, guys, owner Josh Harris, they're building this thing from all angles, is really the best way to put it. I don't want to sit here and say they're building the best front office in football, but they're trying to, guys, and they're allowing Washington to have a bunch of opinions from a bunch of different angles that have been there, that have done it the right way, whether it's evaluating talent and how Washington has built up their scouting staff and what Adam Peters and his evaluation prowess over these years we saw in San Francisco, and of course now in his first draft in Washington, to where you look at it in this Washington class, his debut class in Washington, and there's a bunch of ball players, guys, that he added in this 2024 class from a wide lens. Of course, we have yet to see them strap up in key moments and games that matter, and I'm interested to see them this fall and in the years to come. But overall, guys, just what the Commanders are doing from a organizational perspective, not only the players and faces that they're going to be putting in uniform every single Sunday, but it's the individuals in the building that are making the decisions, whether we're drafting a guy, whether we're looking at a depth chart and we take a certain guy, maybe it's a Johnny Newton, even though he's behind a Daron Payne, John Allen, if that pick hits, are we going to be able to afford to pay a guy like that? Would we be willing to pay a guy like that at the end of his rookie contract? Is it a guy like Jaden Daniels in the first round that obviously has that fifth round option? Of course, when you take guys in the first round, specifically with quarterbacks, and the reason why they go so high is because you do have that fifth round option, that flexibility to have 5 years. Really, of course, you can, contract extensions can really happen at any point, really, right before that rookie contract extension or that fifth-year option, the team decides to exercise it. We're not going to get onto the inner twines of contract negotiation here, guys. But the main focus here is the individuals that Washington has continued to hire, not just the Lance Newmarks of the world, not just the Eugene Shens on the analytics side of things. It's just opinions and guys that have flat out done it at a high level. Speaking of Sosna with Detroit and Blackburn in Baltimore, where these last 10 plus years, he was in Baltimore since 2007, the players that they've added for the Ravens, Kyle Hamilton, Lamar Jackson, Tyler Linderbaum. I mean, guys, I could sit here all day and talk about levels of talent that Baltimore has added since specifically David Blackburn was their head of college scouting and obviously a main cog in the machine. From an evaluation standpoint, whether it was Ozzie Newsome running it in Baltimore or it's been Eric DaCosta these last few years, Baltimore has consistently evaluated the correct way, fitting player to scheme, scheme to player, adjusting what you want to do, finding players that can do a bunch of things for you on offense, on defense, on special teams. And now you're going to bring those types of opinions and knowledge of the game and evaluation where you ultimately win Super Bowls is not via free agency or trades. Those are to bolster a roster. You win championships through the NFL draft. Every single year, you have to build through the draft. It's something that Washington has gotten away from seemingly for decades. We can only look at the maybe 3, 4, 5 picks over the last 10 years that could say, man, those are legitimate hits. Obviously, most recently, it's been 100% the Terry McLaurin pick, of course, and what Terry has become as a middle round selection out of Ohio State. He's been a stud. He is a stud. And I think his game is going to take a jump to the next level this year because he's finally got his quarterback in Jaden Daniels. But it's really refreshing, guys, to see how Washington has approached the organizational building process of letting the football people do football jobs and being able to collaborate at the highest level from a variety of angles, from evaluation to analytics to ultimately who is going to suit up on Sunday afternoon. So those are just my thoughts to jump off here. But I want to get into today, guys, a couple thoughts from OTAs, and then I want to dive into a few positional battles that are really starting to draw my interest for this Washington Commanders roster. A few that maybe haven't gotten a ton of attention in other media, but for me, when I look at this roster, there's a lot of competition at a lot of spots. I mean, the middle linebacker spot is obviously going to be locked up with Bobby Wagner. Wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2 are going to be McLaurin and Dotson. Running back 1, running back 2 is going to be any combination of Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler. And of course, QB 1 is going to be Jaden Daniels. But there are other spots on this roster you can look at and say there are opportunities for guys lower on the depth chart to rise and to not ask them to be core contributors this year. But depth matters on either side of the ball. And of course, you need guys that play special teams as well. So first things first, guys, OTAs. It's nice to see Jaden Daniels out there ripping throws. I mean, I know as I'm recording this podcast here on Thursday, I know you guys saw on social media on the Commanders platforms yesterday, the nice throw he had to Jahan Dotson, down the far hash. That's the exact throw that we saw at LSU, guys. Now, I know a lot of you guys out there getting excited about that stuff. Very, very nice throw. Pretty throw. I even like the Zach Ertz throw over the middle of the field that they showed on their platforms as well. Now, I was not out at Ashburn. I've had some conversations with those in Ashburn. Everything is positive from what I've heard towards Jaden Daniels, his ability to come in and lead the offense, understand some protections as far as what they're doing. Now, from what I've heard, Tyler Biadasz is going to be expected to set the protections up front early on in 2024, allow Jaden Daniels to get those feet wet and just allow the game to slow down under center, which is what you expect for Biadasz to do as a veteran center in this league. But from what I've heard and from what I've seen just in clips and things like that, as far as what we've seen at Ashburn, if you guys didn't watch Jaden Daniels at LSU, I know you guys are probably going to be super excited as far as the throw he made to Jahan Dotson yesterday, but just turn on the LSU tape and he's made hundreds and hundreds of throws just like that on his LSU tape. So that wasn't a surprise for him to make that throw, drop it over the corner into Jahan Dotson's hands. Hell of a catch by number 1 on the outside. Excited to see Jahan working into year 3 already. It's crazy to think that Jahan Dotson is already moving into year 3, but obviously year 2 was a down year for him. Jahan talked this week about it, how he wants to improve moving into year 3. It's a big year for him. He expects a lot out of himself, obviously working as that wide receiver 1B to Terry McLaurin. So offense looks good. They're getting going. I know they're running some red zone concepts that I saw yesterday as well. Some really interesting stuff, guys. Different personnel packages. It's going to be a fun year for this offense led by Jaden Daniels and, of course, leaning on the shoulder of offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. So excited to see this offense continue to progress as we move forward into OTAs. And, of course, in these next few months, when things really start to get ramped up here as we get closer and closer to training camp. So those are just a couple initial thoughts from OTAs, guys, specifically centering around the headliner of what will be Washington's 2024 season. That is number two overall pick and quarterback, Jaden Daniels, the reigning Heisman winner out of LSU. The deep throws, the vertical shots, we saw at LSU. Now it's just taking the efficient approach, moving the sticks, consistently pumping throws at velocity into small windows over the middle of the field is something that I wanted to see more out of at LSU. Not that I didn't see it, but I need to see more out of him moving into training camp and into the regular season to where you look on the outside and some teams potentially play that cover two and force things underneath. You can't take those vertical shots. And at that LSU offense with Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers, where a lot of things were pressed vertical, and if it wasn't there, I'm tucking and running. Those are things that Jaden Daniels is going to have to improve on early on in his career, to where also teams are going to spy him with a linebacker that's, you know, 6 foot, 220 pounds, that can run 4.4, a lot like that Florida State game where they had Kalen DeLoach and they had Tatum Bethune as quarterback spies rotating in and out at the middle of that defense, and it was tough at times for Jaden to work outside the pocket when things broke down. So those are things he's going to work on. He's a hell of an athlete, hell of a football player, but early on, want to see him win inside the pocket, take what's given, be efficient with the football. I don't care if the first 3, 4, 5 weeks of the season, Jaden Daniels has games where he goes 19 for 27 or 28 for 220, 240 yards and a touchdown or two with zero picks and zero fumbles. Or if he has a game where, let's say Tampa Bay, guys, week one, Washington goes out and Jaden Daniels goes 17 for 26 for 225 yards, touchdown to Terry McLaurin, and has 8 carries for 45 yards and a touchdown. That's a hell of a day for me early on in Jaden Daniels' career. And he needs to get comfortable at the NFL level and the speed of the game, the physicality of the game. You guys know, you guys have been here with me for a while, you've heard it in other spots. He's got to take care of his body. He's got to learn how to get down, not just in play, but also out of bounds, and just longevity matters, right? We're not just looking at Jaden Daniels, what he can be in 2024. What can you be in 2027? What could you be in 2029, 2030, 2031? What are you going to be for this offense then? Because Washington drafted Jaden Daniels not to be here for 1 year like Robert Griffin III. They drafted him to be here as the face of the franchise for the next decade. That's the immediate plan for Jaden Daniels. Both, you could say, short-term and long-term. So again, excited to see his progression as we move forward into the summer months and, of course, into week one against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So now let's transition here, guys, and let's talk about some positional battles for this Washington Commanders roster. And it starts for me at wide receiver. Not Terry McLaurin, not Jahan Dotson. Wide receiver 3, 4, 5, 6 for this roster. I have a lot of questions. And I think when you look at this depth chart, there are plenty of names that you could pencil in right now and say, well, Jameson Crowder's there and Luke McCaffrey's there and Yami Brown's there and Dax Milne's still hanging around and they signed Olamide Zaccheaus. But other than Luke McCaffrey, who obviously has that inside track as a third-round pick, to be that wide receiver three, and I expect him to be that wide receiver three early in 2024. I really do like Luke's skill set. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. Enjoyed watching him in Nebraska. Enjoyed watching him at Rice. Enjoyed seeing him live at the Senior Bowl. Enjoyed getting to know the kid during the pre-draft process. He's going to be a hell of a football player and do everything well, whatever you ask him to do. And he's going to complement McLaurin and Dotson extremely well as that friendly face on high leverage downs early on for Jaden Daniels. But the Dax Milne, Deami Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, Jameson Crowder, Mitchell Tinsley, Marcus Rosemi-Jack Saint, UDFA out of Georgia, that in my opinion was the best perimeter blocker out of any wide receiver in this class. He made a couple nice plays in rookie minicamp. He's shown up. He's a talented kid. And if I'm offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury, and even more so Dan Quinn running the show, I'm giving guys like Rosemi-Jack Saint, UDFA last year out of Penn State, and Mitchell Tinsley, of course now into year two. He's been in the building for a year. not so much the Bryson Tremaines and Kaz Allens of the world, even though Kaz Allen is a fun weapon. I think he's someone with these new kickoff rules that could be intriguing. And a guy that I know in years past, you guys remember the Brandon Bankses of the world, as far as just guys that stood out in the preseason and potentially earned a roster spot. But I think that's potentially a fallacy right now for Kaz Allen as far as looking at this roster and his inside track to a roster spot. It is a long shot for him right now. But there are a lot of names. And if I look at this group as far as guys that have been around, Dax Milne, De'Ami Brown, I think De'Ami Brown. Now, if I had to guess right now, for me, he wouldn't make the roster. It's been 3 years of trying to see what you got in De'Ami Brown. And away from the Tennessee game, it's been underwhelming is the best way to describe De'Ami Brown's tenure in Washington. Extremely underwhelming as a former third-round pick. And that goes back to our conversation as far as drafting correctly. Drafting guys that are going to have immediate impacts, not guys that are 2 years away from being 2 years away. And that's, unfortunately, really the career arc that we've seen from De'Ami. And now you're bringing in Luke McCaffrey, so he's bumped down a spot. We've seen Jamison Crowder and what he was able to do last year, so De'Ami Brown can bump down another spot. Olamide Zaccheaus has bounced around the league a bunch, Atlanta, Philadelphia. He's been in his fair share of spots, and he's had some decent success in those spots. So you could say he bumps down another spot there. Then you get down to the Marcus Rosemi-Jack Saint group, that wide receiver 6, wide receiver 5. And there are no ties for De'Ami Brown to this regime. For really anybody in this wide receiver room, except for Luke McCaffrey and Rosemi-Jack Saint, which the team, of course, brought in undrafted. So I think it's going to be a battle, guys. It's guys fighting for targets away from your top two guys. Now, it is nice, I will say this, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, to sit and say, I got my top three, McLaurin, Dotson, McCaffrey. We line up in our base 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end, 3 wide receivers against Tampa Bay. Those are my 3 receivers that I know are going to be on the perimeter. But if we have to chase ball games, and you have to have, obviously, that rotation of receivers, and do you want to bring in that versatile chess piece that really Curtis Samuel was for this offense in years past, like a Jamison Crowder, or more of a vertical threat down the field, like an Olamide Zaccheaus, or do you want to have a lesser version of a Luke McCaffrey as far as those shallow to intermediate areas? Good route runner, strong hands, will do everything for you in the Dax Milne type of role. I think Mitchell Tinsley's like that as well, even though I do like his get up and go down the sideline. So there's just a lot of names here, guys, and there's going to be a lot of opportunity in the summer, as there should be, coming off a season to where you did have a top 3 pick, bottom of the division, embarrassing season, specifically the last 5 to 6 weeks of the year, where you couldn't score more than 15 points a game. You're getting blown out by Dallas. You're getting blown out by Miami. You're getting blown out by everybody. And it was a joke. So the guys that were in the building in years past should be looking over their shoulder, should be looking in the rearview mirror, because you have to compete for snaps. Now, I know that Dan Quinn operates on snaps are earned. They're not given, as it should be. As it should be, competition matters, and it only brings out the best in everybody. Brings out the best in everybody, guys. And sometimes it takes one of your studs or one of your core players to see a young guy that wasn't expected to do a lot, make a few plays, open some eyes, get some more targets, get some more snaps, or potentially start to take your workload to make you say, oh shit, I need to get my shit together. Sometimes it takes a little bit of getting embarrassed to get the best out of people in all facets of life, guys. And this is what I see in some of these positional battles, specifically starting at wide receiver. I also want to talk about the safeties room, specifically strong safety, and more so that hybrid safety nickel role in this defense. Now, you look over years past and what Dan Quinn has done in Dallas to where it's been the Marquise Bell role last year, Keanu Neal. They, of course, drafted our old friend Jabril Cox. In Dallas, they drafted DeMarvin Overshown, they drafted Damone Clark, they drafted Leighton Vander Esch as that inside linebacker, more so just living at the second level. He doesn't really fit that hybrid role, but you guys catch my drift here as far as second level defenders that can play at different depths. Of course, Jalen Smith, And of course, drafting Micah Parsons out of Penn State as an off-ball linebacker, now obviously one of the premier edge rushers in the entire NFL. No questions about that. But when I look at this Commanders defense, now Cam Curl is of course now a Los Angeles Ram, opening up opportunities for guys like Percy Butler, whether he wants to play low, whether he wants to play high. I personally like Percy more as that free safety, that center field type of role that he played at Louisiana well, running from number to number, flipping those hips and making plays above the rim. That's what I like him doing. Jeremy Chinn, we know what he did well in Carolina. What he's going to do well in Washington is play that similar Derek Forrest type of role. Big, physical, athletic kid, can cover running backs on the fringe areas, can cover tight ends up the seam. If you have to cover a wide receiver and play within that contact window and reroute some guys, work them over the middle of the field, I think Jeremy Chinn has the ability to do that. However, as I just mentioned, I just talked about Percy Butler. I just talked about Derek Forrest. Just talked about Jeremy Chinn. That's three guys right there in the safeties room. I didn't talk about Jeremy Reeves. Is he a guy that Dan Quinn wants to utilize a little more on the defensive side of the ball? Of course, Jeremy made an All-Pro as a special teamer. Happy for Jeremy. Been in Washington a long, long, long time. One of the longest tenured Commanders, Redskins, Washington football team members in the last 5 to 7 years. He's outlasted multiple regimes. Good for Jeremy. Don't know if Quinn thinks of him as a defensive specialist, if you will. It may be just that core leader on special teams and what he's been for a long time. But he is in the safeties room. And of course, Washington drafted Dom Hampton out of Washington, who is a lot like Derek Forrest, who is a lot like Jeremy Chinn. In the fifth round, again, Washington had a lot of success last year for the Huskies, made the national championship game. Dom is somebody that will come to the line of scrimmage, not afraid to stick his face in the mud in the run game, take down guys one-on-one, but also cover tight ends, and also play 15 to 20 yards back and be that center field type of safety. Now, he is not that Derwin James, Kyle Hamilton type of single high, roam number to number. That's not going to be Dom Hampton. He's going to play in that 7 to 10 yard range of the offense, reroute receivers, be physical with guys over the middle of the field, use his eyes, use his instincts and aggressiveness intelligently, and make plays on the football. But there is a little bit of a conundrum there with similar parallel type of skill sets, ultimately to see what Dan Quinn is going to do. Now, teams obviously live in sub defensively, meaning sometimes you may see just one linebacker on the field. Sometimes you may see no linebackers on the field. I would not be shocked this year if you see a Jamin Davis, a Bobby Wagner, a Frankie Louvu, everybody, all of those guys off the field. And you see a Daron Payne, John Allen, Jerzon Newton defensive front with Dorrance Armstrong and Cleveland Farrell. That's five guys along your defensive front. You got Sandra still on the field at nickel. Quan Martin as another hybrid guy. And of course, your two perimeter outside corners. Let's just say right now that it's Benjamin St. Juste and Michael Davis. That's nine guys. And then your rotation of, is it Jeremy Chinn? Is it Derek Forrest as your safeties? That's a very unique defensive package to where I think Dan Quinn is going to be exotic in 2024 in the years to come. And there's reasons why he brought in players like Chinn, like Dom Hampton, to play those hybrid roles. I even think about a guy like Jordan McGee, guys out of Temple, that more so fits in that safety type of mold, right? Around 6 foot, 6'1", 220, 25 pounds. That's an exciting kid that flies around, that makes plays. Athletes at the end of the day. Athletes and football players. Sometimes guys aren't able to mesh being a good athlete and a good football player. Sometimes guys are good football players and not good athletes. That puts a ceiling on their success as a football player. But the ability to mesh both is ultimately what showcases a high-level football player. And I think that's what they got in drafting a guy like Jordan McGee, again, middle of day three in the fifth round, out of Temple. But again, guys, that is another hybrid skill set. And there's only 11 guys on the field at one time. And you know a lot of those spots are going to be taken up. I could look at five spots right now that I know are going to be locked down. Payne and Allen, Bobby Wagner, perimeter with Michael Davis, and Benjamin St. Juste. Of course, Emmanuel Forbes, I expect to play a lot of snaps this year. And I fully expect Mike Sanrastale and Quan Martin to to live at nickel, more so Sanders still from week one. And Quan Martin is also going to be a hybrid skill set, as you guys know, and what he was for that Illinois defense coming out of school in the Big Ten. So there are a lot of athletes in this secondary that can play at a variety of depths, do a variety of things, and do them well. It's good to be versatile, but you still got to have those elite type of traits to do specific things. Is it your ability in the run game? Is it your ability in man? Is it your instincts? Is it your ball skills like Emmanuel Forbes, even though he's 112 pounds? What do you do well? So those elite traits, I look at this group right here, all those names I just mentioned, and I think each of those guys has something that you can hang your hat on as far as what they can do in exotic packages for Dan Quinn this fall. The last group I want to get to, guys, is on offense, back on offense, and it is at tackle. I know it's been a question for a long time, really since Trent Williams left town for San Francisco years ago. It would be really nice to have 71 on the left side protecting Jaden Daniels' blind side in 2024 and the years to come, but obviously do not have that luxury. Is it Cornelius Lucas? Is it Brandon Coleman? Is it Braden Daniels? Right tackle right now, I fully expect it to be Andrew Wiley, unless the team makes an addition from a veteran that's cut or they potentially make a trade. We'll see what happens, guys. There are a bunch of avenues for them to add players. We will see. But really, left tackle, because it is, again, the blind side for Jaden Daniels. It is so damn important for Jaden Daniels' perspective to say, look, I don't need to worry about who's coming off my blind side and getting me hit in the back of the ribs or in the small of my back early on in his career. Not sitting back there for 2.5 seconds and then like Sam Howell had to do where he'd peek left quickly and by the time you do that and your eyes come off the coverage, you're losing track of where you are and then things just break down and become a shit show inside the pocket. You don't want that happening early on for Jaden Daniels to get gun shy, to get his feet happy. You want him to be comfortable in the pocket. Now, I do expect Washington to utilize Ben Sinnott, Zach Ertz, John Bates as help chips on that side of the line of scrimmage, so helping out the left tackle, making edge rushers rush twice. If you guys haven't heard that term before, it is making the defender beat the tight end and then beat the offensive tackle, so rushing twice, beating two defenders before we can get to the quarterback, giving them that extra time. You see a lot of teams use that against the TJ Watts, Miles Garrett's, Micah Parsons, Aiden Hutchinson's of the world to just give a little extra time on that side of the line of scrimmage. And really, that's a post-huddle read. As far as you come to the line of scrimmage, see where that guy's aligned, that's where the tight end lines up on that side of the line of scrimmage. So it's not really a call that you make in the huddle. It's something that you read post-huddle if you are that designated tight end expected to chip that five-tech defensive end. But looking at this left tackle group for Washington, again, it is Cornelius Lucas, it's Braden Daniels, and it's Brandon Coleman. Asking me right now, I think it's a two-man race, really, between Brandon Coleman out of TCU, of course, and Cornelius Lucas, a guy I've liked in Washington for a long time. Really been that sixth offensive line for the Commanders over these last few years. He can play guard if you have to. He can play right tackle. He can play left tackle. And I think he could be a guy that right now, if week one was today and Cornelius Lucas was starting at left tackle, I'd be fine with that. I think I'd actually be more comfortable with the floor of success that Cornelius Lucas would offer more so than what I would expect Brandon Coleman to be right now for Washington. Now, the performance ceiling of Brandon Coleman is far beyond what Cornelius is ever going to be for an NFL roster. Brandon Coleman's length, his athleticism, his ability to expand a playbook as far as what he can do in the fringe areas, I think he could play guard, absolutely. So that tackle guard versatility is something that I know Washington and a bunch of other teams in this process really liked about Brandon's game. Now, I love seeing Brandon compete in 2023. He competed on a high ankle sprain, from my understanding, the entire year. Now he's going to work back to 100%. So that ankle sprain, even though he was at the Senior Bowl with it as well, and I thought he had a really good week down there in Mobile, he's now going to be 100%. That may have limited his explosiveness, limited his agility, limited his anchor, his ability to just put all his weight on that ankle. Not sure if that really affected him too much on tape. I know they taped up that thing a bunch, but It's a difference between having that ankle at 100% and having it at 75, 80%. You're absolutely going to feel it. And at the NFL level where you got guys, you know, Big 12, of course, they got some pass rushers that he faced. But now in the NFL and the NFC East and the guys they got in New York with Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns, and you look in Dallas, of course, I mentioned Micah Parsons earlier. They got DeMarcus Lawrence on the other side. And then, of course, with Philly, they don't have Hassan Reddick anymore, but they brought in Bryce Huff from the New York Jets. And, of course, they have Josh Sweat as well, along with the veteran and Brandon Graham. And they drafted Nolan Smith out of Georgia last year in the first round as well. So there are a ton of talents that can flat out get after the passer, not just in the NFC East, but in the NFL. And, you know, a 100% ankle in the lower half of your left tackle protecting your Lamborghini, if you will, and Jaden Daniels, you got to have it. And you're going to expect Brandon to be a high-level starter if he's starting right away along what looks like to be an extremely veteran offensive line. I mean, Nick Allegretti at left guard, who I fully expect to start, been around. Tyler Biadasz, he's been around. Sam Cosmi, right guard, thought he had a hell of a year last year. He's been around. And then, of course, Andrew Wiley on those former Super Bowl teams with Kansas City, he's been around a bunch as well. 2023 wasn't great for Andrew. Hopefully he takes a step in 2024 because I do expect him to start at right tackle from week one, barring anything unforeseen right now. But at left tackle, I'm lining up Cornelius, guys, and I'm lining up Brandon Coleman, lining with the ones, lining with the twos, and just having a flat-out positional battle. Rookie versus vet. Who's going to show up? Who's going to compete? Who's going to produce? Who's going to be the better run blocker? Who's going to be able to drop that anchor and stymie pass rushers? Because look, in Washington, no Chase Young and Montez Sweat. They're not practicing against those guys. But Dorrance Armstrong understands how to get after the passer. Cleveland Farrell's been around, as has Dante Fowler. So that's some decent work in practice, of course. And the preseason is really going to tell, it's going to just explain it, really paint the picture for me if I'm Dan Quinn. Lining against the AFC East, right? Patriots, Jets, Dolphins. Look at the Dolphins. Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb. They drafted Chop Robinson in round one. They drafted Mohamed Kamara out of Colorado State in the middle rounds. Look at the Jets. I just mentioned Hassan Reddick. They got a bunch of dudes that can get after the passer as well. So left tackle is important. I think right now it is the biggest question for this roster, specifically, again, blind side of Jaden Daniels is so damn important. But there are a bunch of other spots as well, guys, that positional battles are going to happen. They're going to occur for this roster here in training camp. And I'm excited. Guys competing, guys strapping up. It's something I feel like that hasn't happened in Washington for a long time. Just the willingness to compete, willingness to hit, willingness to play fast and physical and set a tone. Understand the teams, this is what you're going to get when you're playing the Washington Commanders. I'm not sitting here and saying everyone should fear Washington. They're going to be an 11-12 win team this year. Top of the NFC East and potential get a NFC conference title berth. I'm not saying that, guys. But the players that they have in the building are setting the tone for this year and the years to come, laying the foundation, if you will, of an organization that's trying to work back on the tracks towards not just competitive football, but relevancy and having primetime games and having games that actually mean something and having Commanders fans like you guys out there come to the games and be excited at 1 o'clock to watch the Commanders. Again, I've said it in the past, guys. I wasn't alive for the glory days with Joe Gibbs. I've never seen that. I've never been able to enjoy that. I've seen it with other DC teams. I mean, the Caps and the Nationals and the Wizards, of course, when John Wall and Bradley Beal were running the show in years past, long ago. But the Commanders have just not been able to be relevant outside of a few years here or there. Just zero consistency. So overall, as I talk at the top, guys, love how Adam Peters and Josh Harris are building this organization top down and then looking at the football side of things inside the hashes as to who's going to be competing, the positional battles to keep an eye out for, the different skill sets specifically of how Dan Quinn's going to utilize those guys I mentioned earlier at multiple alignments to make things easier on guys like Daron Payne, John Allen, and Johnny Newton within the middle. Not asking them to get home on every single down like we've seen in years past. Because, look, if they didn't get home, then you got somebody out the back door for a 40, 50-yard gain because the secondary can't cover shit. That makes life tough, guys. But there's talent here. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see these guys compete in these positional battles again that I mentioned. Of course, as we move closer to training camp, we're going to talk a lot more about how things begin to iron themselves out. Things are going to happen, guys. Guys are going to be gone. Guys are going to be added. And cuts are going to be made from other teams. There's going to be some new faces here in the building in the next couple weeks and months that aren't right here on the Washington Commanders roster right now that could potentially make that final 53. So we'll see. A lot more to talk about, guys, as we sit here in late May. But that's going to do it for today's episode. Always appreciate you guys tuning in. We're on all podcast platforms. I'm on X, if you don't follow me there already, at _RyanFowler. All my work, as always, is at Bleacher Report and the Draft Network. I hope you guys have a great Memorial Day weekend. I'll talk to you soon. I am Ryan Fowler, and this is Commanding the Huddle.
Listen up, people. Over the years, I've learned how important hydration is in my workouts and everyday life. It's the key to helping my body move, recover, and just have a good time when I'm exercising and staying active. Things go even better when I'm well hydrated before I even start moving. Noon Hydration doesn't want you to wait to hydrate. They want you to start hydrated. Noon Sport Hydration Tablets hydrate better than water alone. Just drop them in your water, dissolve, and enjoy. They contain 5 essential electrolytes and come in crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade, lemon lime, and many more. They also have non-GMO vegan and gluten-free ingredients and only 1 gram of sugar. Noon hydrates you so you can do more, go further, and recover faster. And that means you can have a heck of a lot more fun. Since hydrated humans have the most fun, head over to shop now on noonlife.com and pick some up today so you're ready for anything. Because anything can happen after noon.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Keep your space feeling comfortable this summer with help from Menards. The Denali Air 6000 BTU window air conditioner has a 3-speed cooling system with remote control, allowing you to control the temperature of your space from anywhere in the room. You call the shots with auto and eco mode to maximize performance and save on energy costs. Stop by in-store or online at Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.